Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Joining us on the line, Executive Head and Head of Red Hill High School, Joseph Gerassi. Joseph, good morning. I hope you're going to be kinder to me than some of my listeners are this morning.
How are you, Howard? I'm always kind to you.
It is true. It is true. Can't argue that at all. How did Red Hill do?
Yeah, look, Howard, you know, Red Hill did exceptionally well, as did most of the other private schools. And I think that was testament to, you know, the hard work that the teachers put into, you know, the work that the students did and those close contacts that we have with our students. For us, I suppose what was, you know, our highlight, if I can try and separate things, obviously it was our first year being involved in the International Baccalaureate. Mm-hmm. And obviously that had its own problems because you were not only dealing with South Africa and COVID, but internationally, because our kids had to write and compete internationally. Mm-hmm. And our top student there, Wangari and Butia, scored 42 out of 45, which placed them in the top 2% internationally, which shows us that, you know, in South Africa, in our top institutions, our education is world class.
Because we do spend a lot of time beating ourselves up about it, don't we? That and that is a South African pastime, is looking at how terrible things are here versus elsewhere. But when we see that kind of achievement, that paints a very, very different picture, doesn't it?
Very, very much so. And I think you're 100% correct. We keep looking at the negatives, and of course there are negatives.
Sure.
But if you look at our, you know, it's like everything in South Africa, we're at the top of so many things and we're at the bottom of so many things. And maybe we need to, you know, sometimes just stop and say, we've got world-class educators, we've got world-class students, and we've got a world-class education system where it works. And we can compete with the best in the world. And our students are competing right around the world with the best in the world. And that's why, we so often see South African names up in highlights, because we do so well. So we need to give ourselves a bit of a pat on the back and say, you know, when we put our mind to it and we do get it right, then we really do get it right.
Absolutely. One of the things that always struck me about Red Hill was the agility of the school, is the fact that you didn't just, as a school, you don't just accept things for what they've always been. I would imagine, it's a bit of a leading question, but I would imagine that agility served the school and served your students very well in 2020. Can you develop that thought for me?
Absolutely. You've often heard me speak about, you know, having, you know, being able to change, and that change is the only constant, and that you've got to be ready for change. And our students have to be taught about that. Sometimes we just look at the matric results and we say, yeah, they got however many distinctions. You know, with good teachers and, you know, the kind of communities our children come from, I don't want to belittle it, but it's not always that difficult to get top results. It's what you do with those results. It's how you take those results and you manage to kind of put that into the world after school. Have you been taught how to accept things? You know, this world is changing so quickly, and we've got to teach our children about that change. And I think if we look at COVID, what Red Hill managed to do was we very, very quickly moved into an online learning system, and we very quickly managed to get our kids to understand that system and work within that system. So even more than allowing them to get their top results, which, you know, we knew they would be able to achieve, I think we've taught them grit. We've taught them, you know, to be agile in a world that is changing all the time. And that's going to stand them in such good stead. And isn't that what we want from our children? That after school, they can go and they can be competitive in the world that awaits them.
Absolutely right. What do you think this year, how's it going to play out this year for your students and for the school?
So we've looked at what happened in COVID. And, you know, I think whenever there is a time of darkness, you learn so much from that time, because you have to look at what has happened. And I don't think we were ever going to go back to what was normal. And I think, you know, progressive schools and progressive educators are going to absolutely take what took place and start to make the changes. And we've looked at Red Hill at looking at five changes. First of all is we've spoken to our staff about having a beginner's mindset. And I think the pandemic forced us to
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. To have a what mindset?
a beginner's mindset.
Okay.
And a beginner's mindset is basically says, you know, it actually comes from Zen Buddhism. It's a concept that basically says, you know, forget about everything. Forget about everything that you knew before, because things have changed, and we all start afresh. And therefore, we don't have to, you know, worry about or conform to what previously took place, because we're not going to be held to, you know, to those same standards. A new openness with new possibilities basically will spring clean outdated preconceived ways of doing things,
mm-hmm.
and will allow for a perfect breeding ground for curiosity and innovation in education, and to make that thrive. So first of all, I would say number one is all educators out there and progressive educational institutions
need a beginner's
start
mindset.
With a beginner's mindset.
Lovely.
Forget about the way you did things and look at new ways.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is basically finding new ways to educate vastly different students, and that we learned. Our teachers did the most amazing videos online, and, you know, all of those videos that we have, we've now put them kind of in the library, a virtual library, and all of our students can get on and basically rewatch the videos that our teachers have made. What does this do for our students? And I think moving forward, especially for our matric, is it's a game changer.
Mm. Yeah, you create this repository of knowledge, really.
Well, what does it do? It basically says to students that are studying, you can rewind as many times as you want to re-listen to the lesson without being put into a situation where if you didn't get it the first time, you've got to go for extra lessons. Our students should never have to go and pay for extra lessons. Their teachers don't need to, you know, just tell them what to do in class. But if that is online, you can go back and you can re-watch and re-listen to the concepts so that when you come to class the next day, all students start on a level playing field.
Right.
You know, some students will pick it up in 5 minutes. Others might take 45 minutes to pick it up.
Right.
And that's important. But also our students that catch on very quickly can speed through the work, which is really good.
Right.
The other thing that we learned is finding new ways to connect with students and parents. You know, all of a sudden we don't have to have parents coming and spending hours at school getting through traffic.
Right.
We used Zoom amazingly well, and I think we need to move forward with that. We need to look at new ways of assessing our students that are more future-focused. And I think, you know, Howard, the new way of teaching, I don't think we're ever going to go back to the old normal, but I don't think we can, you know, we can think that that's going to come to an end. In other words, I do believe that post-pandemic education will mean an end, will not mean an end to traditional face-to-face learning. But what it will bring in is a hybrid model of learning, and that's the way we need to kind of move forward. And this will include things like days on campus and days off campus. Mm, so students might be coming in certain days, staying
off
certain days.
That's so interesting. Because it's such a parallel to the work environment. I foresee
very
that.
Very much so.
I foresee that taking place within the work environment as well.
Absolutely. Because as we said, schools are always about mirroring the world that our kids are going into. And if we don't take advantage of that, they're going to go out into a world and not be able to deal with it. So it is about days on, days off campus, learning content at home where videos will help them, you know, to learn at their own pace, where we can apply skills to content that is already learned. And so I think that, you know, just, you know, for me in conclusion there's no doubt that the disruption to traditional education brought about by COVID has inspired a rethinking of traditional education, and changes that would have been, you know, widely inconceivable pre-pandemic have now been forced through due to necessity. And this has opened a space for the reassessment of models that were assumed to be fundamental and unchallengeable in the past. And now progressive schools and educators will never be able to, I believe, return to normal. And instead, you know, we'll be able to harness the disruption that has occurred in education. And if we have that beginner's mindset, we will be able to continue to innovate, make education more suitable for the evolving needs of this modern world that we're going into.
Absolutely amazing. And what I love about what you're saying is that it starts off at your school at Red Hill, but it actually says so much more, and it's such interesting and valuable ways to think outside of the school environment as well, which is ultimately what we're training the children and what we're training students to be, and how to think and how to approach difficult and regular situations. Joseph Gerassi, Executive Head and Head of Red Hill High School, chatting to us this morning.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.